Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Howdy.
How's it going, Imran?
It's going okay. Time is a flat circle.
Time really is a flat circle. I want to ask you, actually, how are you spending your stay-at-home shelter quarantine lockdown situation? Because I don't think we've actually like talked about what you're doing. I think everybody else is kind of said how their things are going.
The answer for 2 weeks was Final Fantasy VII, and now that's over. So now I have to figure out like what is next. What am I going to play another game? Am I going to start like binging through movies? Because I don't know. I live in the Richmond, which is like a primarily Asian district, and it's become a bit weird recently. Like a couple of days ago, somebody just went through and like bashed a bunch of Asian store windows.
Oh no!
So I don't super want to go outside, even if I could. But yeah, so I basically my days now are Ring Fit, which is not enough exercises I should be doing.
Dude, that's like owning Ring Fit right now. That's like owning like gold, like a block of gold, like you're balling.
It's basically created a caste system of I have Ring Fit, other people don't, so I can do things.
The fact that you're saying you have Ring Fit right now is making me want to come over and like come over in a mask, of course, but then rob you, you know?
I mean, I feel like I'd still know who you are, but yeah, I think it works out.
Bless, way too far. Way too far.
Is that too far?
Yeah.
Kevin, the mask has a dual function.
No, it's to
protect
get it. Me, yeah.
It's to protect from the germs, but then also protect my identity.
Yep.
You get it, Kevin?
No, I do. Yeah. I got it. You're like smart kid.
You leapt to robbery versus like super heroism.
Superheroism?
Super heroism. Like being a superhero.
Yeah, that's like heroin that's got PCP in it.
Like anyone can wear the mask, but in this case, I'm wearing the mask for malicious
reasons. Saying you went bad. You could have gone good.
Yeah. How come they made like a PSA of like Miles Morales saying anyone can wear the mask and everyone should?
Oh, that'd be good.
That's obvious. Like,
these are like free ideas for Sony.
Yeah.
Have you been watching any shows in the quarantine? Because let me tell you, I've been starting shows that I've been starting the most random of shows. Like I started watching Avatar: The Last Airbender a few days ago, and I am most of the way through season one. That's a pretty good show.
Have you not watched it before?
It was always on. It was on TV when I was a kid, and I would watch it when it was on TV. But I never made it a thing to actually like watch the whole series. And in fact, I missed pretty much all of season two and three because when I was a kid, around the age of like 10 or 11, when Avatar was coming out, I had moved to Nigeria, and then by the time I came back, Avatar was wrapping up. And so basically I missed, like there are 2 years of Nickelodeon Cartoon Network that I just straight up missed. Avatar was included in that.
It's a fantastic show. It's great that you actually get to watch it now, especially like, because when they were airing it, Nickelodeon kind of treated it like, it was in the era where serial cartoons were a fairly new idea. So they were just airing episodes kind of at random and different like time slots, and they would go months without showing a new episode, and suddenly they would show five in a row. It was that kind of thing. So now is a great time to actually just sit down and watch it
and just watch it through. And I think that's why it was so weird for me as a kid, because like I remember turning on the TV and the same episode would come on over and over and over again, and it'd be like, all right, cool. I've seen them unlock Aang from the ice like Captain America like a million times. But I'm watching that right now. I'm enjoying it. I just started Ozark season two, which is anxiety inducing, but I'm also enjoying it. And I'm finishing up what's left of Dave right now. I know there's new episodes coming out, but I've been watching a lot of TV. And let me tell you, man, it's all been hitting the spot.
Yeah, I've been still on that Law and Order train because it's like it's the perfect thing to just not care about anything else. I'd just be like, yeah, I'm just going to watch this. And it'll involve me for 40 minutes. And then as soon as it's over, it all just leaves my short-term memory. Like, it's all just gone. I'm like, okay, great. Yeah. This did not make any imprint
regular
on me at all.
Law and Order or?
Regular, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I was never a big SVU fan.
That show's fucked up. I love it.
Like, it's fucked up for a while, but then it's like, I don't really care about these characters all that much.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
Isn't Ice Cube in it?
Ice-T.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. I understand. I get them mixed up too. I get them mixed up too. Today's stories don't include Law and Order. Today's stories do include a new XCOM game, a canceled WWE game, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Every time I get to that part, I get more and more scared to bang my fist on the desk, because as the weeks have been going, more and more things have been populating my desk. And so right now I have like two cups, my phone, my Switch, my hat, and
just
like
sit
my,
on your
like,
desk. Just sit on your desk.
I'm not going to sit on my desk, Kevin.
Literally,
if I add one more
thing
to my desk, it's going to collapse. It is going to collapse if I add one more thing.
You. I did such a good job putting that stupid desk together, and now you're just talking shit about it.
Such a good job, but it's missing like four screws, is what you said.
Yeah, but like non-essential screws, clearly.
Non-essential screws. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. P.S. I Love You episode, or P.S. I Love You XOXO episode 15 is live. It's me and Greg talking about ranking the features of the PS5 DualSense controller. So head on over and check that out. Kevin got a bug bite. That's the thing that I added to the housekeeping, because I asked before the show, what do I need to add to housekeeping? Kevin
you
said he got
see,
a bug bite.
You see
Kevin,
how you red it is? It's right there. It's a big bump. My arm doesn't look
this muscular
normally.
Oh, you're showing
it
on video.
That explains why you're looking so swole, Kevin.
It hurts.
Yeah, I thought Kevin was working out. Turns out that's just a bug bite.
I'm thinking about getting a knife and trying to bleed it out.
Okay, well.
I saw that on House once. I'm like, no, I don't want to see that ever again.
You
or
see
think
it?
About it ever again.
Right there. That shouldn't be there.
I know how I feel about this. Greg is streaming The Division 2 tomorrow. And here's the thing. I'm going to call Greg because I know this is like a fundraising thing, but I don't know the details of it. And I only remembered to add this to the doc like as we're starting this show. And so I haven't gotten the details of it. Hold on, what's going on with my phone?
I feel like Kevin would be the person Kind of Funny most likely to be like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, of just being like fascinated that he's turning into a bug.
Yeah. I think I'd
hopefully
handle
he answers.
Well.
Yeah.
If he doesn't answer, he doesn't get any money for this fundraising. Them's the rules. I don't make them. Greg Miller, you're live on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Don't say anything incriminating.
Okay, sounds great. I'm getting my thumb taped up.
You're getting your what now?
I'm getting my thumb taped up.
Your
Blessing,
thumb taped
tell him I say hi.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin says hi.
Yeah, I cut my thumb last.
Oh, you cut your thumb?
I saw Jen's pictures. He looks like a murderer.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd this happen?
Hold on, I'll call you back.
Okay, call me back.
Bless, all you had to do was ask about the fundraiser. He's trying to fight cancer or something. He's streaming with Fran.
I can't change
now
the topic when he's mortally wounded.
Now the fundraiser is about Greg's thumb.
If he's hurt, I'm not going to change the subject and be like, okay, cool, your thumb is cut up, whatever. Tell me about Division 2.
To be fair, it happened yesterday, I think. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is old news.
Yeah, pretty much.
Calling anyway, like... he's when he calls back, we'll ask him about Division 2. But just so you know, here he is.
Sounds like his thumb divided. Oh.
Greg Miller, what's up?
Blessing out of you, Junior. Not much. What's up with you?
So what I originally wanted to ask you when I called you is, what's up with this Division 2 thing tomorrow? Because I know it's a fundraiser. I know you're raising money against cancer, I believe. I don't think it's for cancer. Can you tell me the details of that for the people to know?
Sure, everybody. Hey, it's me, Greg Miller. And if you didn't know, I went to a little place called the University of Missouri. And I also had cancer. These are not connected. And so the American Cancer Society reached out to me. They're doing a college streaming tournament to see which college can raise the most money as a la Extra Life. But it's in a tournament like March Madness. And so I'm currently playing Florida. I'm representing the University of Missouri. I'm the Missouri representative raising money for American Cancer Society. And so tomorrow I'll be streaming the Division 2. We're going to be doing the raid, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Thank you so much, Greg.
No problem.
Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. to watch Greg Miller.
Was it
do
me or
Division
did he
raid.
Did he imply that Mizzou gave him cancer?
He said they're not related, which is a thing that seems like, why would you need to tell
us
that?
That seems weird.
Yeah, no, it seems like he's covering up
so
or something.
Going to Mizzou probably gives you cancer.
Did Mizzou cut his thumb is the question? I think the answer is yes.
There's a lot of different things that are being
cutting his thumb
here, you know, and I like
it's
it.
Very possible.
On behalf of Mizzou, I think we figured it out.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Hymns and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with number one, there's a new XCOM game, and it's coming next week. I'm pulling from a release put out by 2K. They write, 2K today announced that XCOM Chimera Squad, an all-new standalone title in the award-winning turn-based XCOM tactical series, is currently scheduled to be released digitally for Windows PC and or on April 24th, 2020, with a special limited-time introductory price of $9.99. Set 5 years after the events of XCOM 2, humans, hybrids, and aliens are now working together to forge a civilization of cooperation and coexistence. However, not all of Earth's inhabitants support the interspecies alliance. CD31, a model of peace in a post-world or a post-invasion world, is opposed by mysterious groups whose agendas threaten to shatter this delicate interspecies alliance. Chimera Squad, an elite force of human, hybrid, and alien agents, must work together to destroy the underground threats driving the city toward chaos. Imran, are you into XCOM at all? Does this speak to you?
I really liked the first game. I never actually gave XCOM 2 a shot, despite owning both that and War of the Chosen. I think maybe that is one of the quarantine backlog games I'll probably take a shot at. But yeah, this is surprising to me, just kind of out of nowhere. Like, yeah, we have a new standalone XCOM game here. Just play it in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's. I think it's really good timing for them. I don't know if this is a thing where they pushed up their schedule or anything like that to get this out. But I mean, right now, while everybody's at home, to release a game, to release an XCOM game, which those games tend to be like meaty games, right? Those are games you can sit down and really spend some time with. Like, I mean, that seems good for them. The fact that they're able to release it digitally, the fact that this seems to not be like a big XCOM release, right? This seems to be like a spin-off kind of game, right? It being $10, it being released digitally only for now. Like, I think that kind of speaks to the size and scope of this thing, which might be like the right choice for them, you know, given us coming off of XCOM 2 a couple years ago. Actually, how long has it been since XCOM 2? That came out, what, 2016, 2017?
Seems a long time ago.
I feel like it was earlier than that. Well, maybe not. Because I remember it launched on PC first.
Nobody counts that.
It was only mouse and keyboard for a while too. It didn't even have controller support, and then it came to consoles a couple of years later. About a year later, kind of funny that consoles you're wrong to tell us, but I believe, which is like that's why when they say this is only for Windows PC right now, I assume it's coming to consoles down the line
later on. Yeah. Does this seem like the right move for XCOM for you?
Yeah, I mean, where else could you go, really, besides, like, XCOM 3, and I assume they're saving that for, like, next-gen or whatever. But, yeah, it's like, smaller little expansions seem like the best place to take XCOM of. Oh, this is just a little city where apparently there's, like, a... What is that movie? District 7?
Oh, District
9.
I want to say it's
nine.
In the teens.
District 9.
District 9? Is that what it was?
Yeah. So, District 9, like, it... Kind of like that, like a District 9-ish thing of, but there's people who are trying to subvert it. And it seems neat to have like a smaller scale, not a global warfare thing, like just taking out a local, what's the word you want to use, terrorist group within the city. Sounds cool.
So can you give me the pitch for XCOM? Because the thing I know about XCOM, like Enemy Unknown, is that, yeah, there's humans, there's aliens, it's a strategy game. And people tend to name the characters after their friends. That's like the extent of my knowledge of XCOM. But I didn't know about hybrids. Are hybrids like the humans and aliens like did a fusion dance and came together, or what happened?
I don't know about hybrids. I'm going to assume just based on the name, they're like, it's less fusion dance and more like horizontal limbo kind of thing.
Oh no, that's what I thought. But I
assume
want to believe it.
I don't know. But you played Fire Emblem, right?
No.
Have you played any strategy RPGs?
I mean, all the ones I've tried, I've just not enjoyed them. Like, I tried StarCraft back in the day, and I've also tried, like, Wargroove, and, like, Advanced Wars, which I know is kind of different, but within the same overall genre.
It's pretty much, like, like that. It's a, you know, you have a grid-based thing, or not even necessarily grid-based, but like a movement-based thing where you can get close to enemies or, you know, peck at them from a distance. And it's a lot about risk management and numbers and trying to figure out like, oh, well, I have 60%. There's a decent chance it'll hit, and then it won't hit. And then you get really mad at the game. It's that kind of thing, but it's, it can be as punishing as you want it to be, depending on what, like, the difficulty you're playing on. I've heard XCOM 2 is a lot more punishing than XCOM 1. So if you're going to try one, I would probably start with the first one. But yeah, if you don't like strategy RPGs, I don't think this is going to be the game that changes your mind.
Yeah. And actually, that's my thing too. Now that I think about it, I did try, because XCOM 2 or XCOM Enemy Unknown 2, I forget which one, but one of the XCOM games was free on PS Plus. Yes. I remember that coming out, and I remember trying it and immediately being like, "Not the same. This ain't me." Like, those games just never vibe with me. But hearing my friends talk about them, like, they sound cool. Like, they sound like something that I understand why people love those games. Like, they sound dope. Like, there's a permadeath element to it also, right?
Yes, which is why people like make their friends and stuff like that in the game, because then people get very offended. Like, how could you let me die?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Awesome. If you're an XCOM fan, then stay tuned for that. Check that out.
I assume, by the way, that I think that, like, this is probably supposed to be announced a couple of months ago, and obviously couldn't be.
Because
there's been a number of 2K announcements just kind of slip out, like the stuff for Switch and things like that. Like, they seem to be just kind of putting out whatever they can put out right now, which is probably a smart idea.
That makes sense. Story number two. Star Fox and Team Fortress voice actor Rick May has died from COVID-19. I'm pulling from Luke Plunkett at Kotaku, who writes, Rick May, a veteran voice actor whose most notable credits in video games were playing Star Fox's Peppy Hare and Team Fortress 2's Soldier, has died at the age of 79 from COVID-19. May, who also voiced Star Fox's Andross and Genghis Khan in Age of Empires 2, had been in a nursing home after suffering a stroke earlier in the year where he contracted the virus. An art school where he had been teaching announced the news, adding that he had then moved to Swedish hospital where he received care before he passed on. In addition to those more well-known roles, May also appeared in games like SOCOM 2 and Sly 3. The Sheep Whisperer writes in and says, all I want is a moment of silence for Rick May, voice of Peppy Hare from Star Fox and Soldier from TF2. He was 79 when COVID-19 took him. May he barrel roll and rocket jump in peace. So Imran, I want to take a few seconds to have a moment of silence. Awesome. Thank you for that. And then, this is one of those things where, like, we've been talking on this show a lot about COVID-19 because it's all really anybody can talk about, because it's taken over our lives for the last few months. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about it a lot from the perspective of the effects that it has on games and consoles and delays and entertainment, because that's like, those are the things that are most kind of visible to us. But yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, This is one of those sobering reminders that where we're at right now is way bigger than us. Like, it's way bigger than games. It's way bigger than any of this. Like, there are quite a few friends of mine now who, like, are talking about how, like, they have family members who had COVID-19, right? And, like, I think there was one friend of mine who has had, like, an aunt pass away from it. And this whole situation this whole situation sucks. Yeah. And so Rick May, you know, like, being a voice in Star Fox, being a voice in Team Fortress and other games that we're all aware of, he passed away from COVID-19. Sucks. But may you rest in peace.
Yeah, he's had a significant, like, I would say, even if you're just kind of tangentially related to games, or even, like, if you post on any kind of forums, you've probably heard his voice in some form. Because both Soldier and Peppy O'Hare have, like, significantly been, it sounds like a dismissive thing to say, but significantly memed over the last couple of years, or last two decades, honestly. So this guy is extremely prominent in that sense, and in the actual intended sense as well. So it's a huge loss.
Story number three. WWE 2K21 reportedly has been canceled in favor of a new game. I'm pulling from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. Reports have emerged that 2K Games will not be publishing its usual annual wrestling title this year. Justin Leeper, who previously wrote narrative for earlier WWE games, published a video video sharing details of big changes to the series this year. He also pointed to the fact that this year's WrestleMania event historically, or actually, sorry, let me back up a bit. Let's see. Justin Leeper says, quote, I've heard from reliable sources, and I truly believe that WWE 2K21 has been canceled. He said there will be no game this year. He also pointed to the fact that this year's WrestleMania event historically used as a platform to announce or tease the new WWE game featured no such news. According to Ringside News, Leeper previously shared insight on why WWE 2K20 suffered so many issues. GamesIndustry.biz has reached out to 2K Games for comment. In his video, Leeper said these issues influenced the decision to scrap the game and suggested the series would benefit from a year off. He alluded to changes behind the scenes, most likely the split between 2K and the series' longtime developer Yuke's, and that current developer Visual Concepts needs more time to become better accustomed with the process of making these games. Leeper also suggested that COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted the production and distribution, which will also have affected 2K's plans. However, while his opening claim said there will be no traditional WWE 2K this year, he did hint that a palate cleanser is on the way. Quote, I've heard also that there is another WWE game this year, that 2K is publishing a different kind of WWE game from a different kind of developer that's not Visual Concepts, he said. Quote, I can say more on that, but I won't because I've already probably pissed off a lot of people at 2K. Finally, Leeper claimed next year's game, which he referred to as 2K2022, will not be on next generation consoles. Instead, it will still be released for PS4, Xbox One, and probably PC. Imran, what is your take on all of this?
So the assumption has always been that 2K is kind of contractually mandated to make a game every year. I assume some force majeure stuff has kicked in, and they are not contractually mandated this year to release one, which is good because last year was really bad.
Trash fire.
Yeah, it was like, it was, people made fun of that game in a way that even if that game made money, it tarnished the brand in a very bad sort of way. So I'm betting 2K is probably quite happy to take a year off on that sort of thing. It may be a loss in revenue, but probably if they can come back with a much bigger thing later in 2022 or next year, then hopefully, like, it could be better for the series as a whole. Granted, I don't know if, since they released that last game, maybe they're not thinking on that level yet, but it could work out that way.
Like, I wonder what their vision is for WWE 2K now, because the whole situation last year was because of the handoff from Yuke's to Visual Concepts, and that rushed handoff kind of led to that game being the trash fire that it came out being. And so the idea that, yeah, now Visual Concepts will have, I guess, a full year to work on that game, which still at this point doesn't sound like enough, right? Because you imagine for Yuke's, they had the time, or let me not say they had the time, but by the time you got to like the later WWE 2K games with Yuke's, like they have a structure to those games. You imagine later iterations, like 2016 coming off of 2015, for example, you imagine that they are just adding things on or like making tweaks to the game that already exists and then repackaging that as the new title. For Visual Concepts, you imagine that they kind of have to start from the ground up in some sort of sense. And so this taking a year off might come as like a blessing in disguise in a way for them, I imagine. No pun intended. That said, I'm very curious. I'm curious about two things. One, the idea that next year's game is going to be on PS4, Xbox One, and PC and not on the next gen consoles. That sounds extremely weird to me and in a way that, like, from a sales perspective, from the perspective of all these consoles are already out, like, let's just make games for these consoles so we can sell copies. Like, I guess that makes sense. But you imagine that they would just put out, like, a cross-gen version. Or maybe it's a thing where they don't have enough, like, manpower to make that happen. Who knows? But that strikes me as very weird.
It is a little weird, and who knows if that's, like, the actual final plan. Maybe they do have, like, they're making a last-gen version, then having somebody upport it. Maybe just the narrative designer doesn't know that there's a next-gen version in the works as well. Or maybe it's just, like, we don't have an idea, really, of, like, what the future of smart delivery really looks like in terms of marketplace. Like, what if people do just buy old-gen games and play them on new-gen systems and it turns out to be a better thing, but no one's really looking at the line between consoles that much anymore. That's also possible, and it would kind of help out somebody in like a 2K who makes a yearly game that doesn't always perform super well. So in that sense, yeah, it could, that could be the reasoning. I very much doubt if it's releasing next year that they don't have a next-gen version in some form or another, but it could be a way that we just really have not fathomed yet.
I'm also curious about what this this replacement game is going to be. That's mentioned here, right? Like, what is a spinoff WWE game that comes out this year look like? Like, is it, and this might even be more so of a Greg Miller question, since Greg Miller is like the wrestling guy here, but we've had like weird offshoot wrestling games before with what was it called? I think there was one called like WWE All-Stars or something like that, that was like kind of cartoon, like had like almost like NBA Jam type graphics, where all like the features are like whatchamacallit, like
more cartoonish. Yeah,
more cartoonish. Yeah. I wonder if that's the route, or if I wonder if you would try and make like a Fire Pro kind of thing, but that's WWE branded. Like, I'm curious about that.
Let me throw this out there: John Cena game made by Platinum Games.
Oh my god!
That the dodge mechanic is time slows down. And he says you can't see me, and then you wail on people with combos while time is slowed down.
I'm in it. I'm into it. Yeah, and everything takes place in a ring too. It's like a Royal Rumble kind of thing, where you're just taking out a bunch of enemies.
Or it's just a normal, like it's a Bayonetta style game, but when a fight starts, a ring just pops up from the bottom. Like there's no explanation ever. It just happens.
Frankfurter writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you, Canon, says, good morning, Blessing and Imran. 2K Games is not releasing a new wrestling game this year, but it will instead opt to release one in 2022 with a smaller palate cleanser this year. The reason behind the cancellation was due to two things: COVID-19 and the developer not knowing what the hell they're doing. For reference, please see 2K20. My question is, with an already tarnished record with 2K20's release last year, will not putting out a 2K21 hurt the developer's reputation even further? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
I mean, we're in a situation with the Olympics is being delayed a year and being called still the Summer Olympics 2020 next year. So, no, I think people are going to understand on a fundamental level. If the game still comes out next year and still sucks, then yes, that will hurt the reputation. But I don't think it will hurt it much more than if it came out this year and still sucked.
Yeah, and I think the thing for me is, like, how much lower can you go? Like, and like, this is like no offense to like the developer or anything, but it's one of those things where it's not like it's BioWare that is releasing that, like that's skipping a year or coming off of like their however many like bad game this year, right? Like it's Visual Concepts coming off of 2K20. And I think at this point there's kind of no expectation for him, right? Yeah. Like it's not even like Yuke's was making wrestling masterpieces either. Like Yuke's is also coming off of like a streak of making like very fine, like mediocre to fine wrestling games. And so, yeah, Visual Concepts not releasing a game this year, I think if anything only helps them. I think the idea that, yeah, we can forget about them for a year and they can come back possibly fresher than they have been, like I think that can only be a good thing, honestly.
What will be bad for them is if they release a game next year and Yuke's also releases their wrestling game that they've been talking about next year, and Yuke's game is good. It's not necessarily guaranteed that's going to happen, but if that does turn out to be the case, then it'll look really bad for 2K and Visual Concepts.
Yeah. Do you have any prediction on what Yuke's game might be? Because I know like the idea of it being AEW has been thrown around, and I don't know how legit that, like, I don't know if it's a rumor, but I don't know how likely that is, but I think that would be like a baller kind of thing for them to go with the other guys and for that to be like the matchup.
They said they were working on that game like before AEW like became a thing. Granted, it wouldn't be hard to like transfer work over to make that an AEW game, because like most of it's just a fundamental wrestling game. I think it would be dumb of AEW to not have contacted Yuke's and be like, hey, can we just like get in on this? But who knows? It could be a totally original wrestling game of which we have not had since like the SNES era.
Yeah. Story number four. Switch's new 10.0 update is live. I'm pulling from Richard Lawler at Engadget, who writes, the latest software update for Nintendo Switch consoles has arrived, and version 10.0.0 is finally ready to fix an issue that has plagued the system since it debuted, moving games between internal storage and an SD card. Until now, if a game was in either place and you wanted it on the other, then the solution was to re-download it. Now Switch owners can move the downloadable software, update data, and DLC with ease. Game saves and update data is still excluded. Another change should make gameplay accessible for many people since you can remap the controller buttons. According to the notes, up to five stick and button configurations can be changed for each paired controller. As long as it's a Joy-Con, the buttons on the Switch Lite system, or the Nintendo Switch Pro controller. There are also some new Animal Crossing related icons for your profile and a bookmark feature for new items. Your system should grab the new update automatically, or you can start the process manually. Imran, this all seems like good news.
Good for accessibility. Yeah, it's more people should copy that thing that Sony was doing of being able to adjust the buttons for anything you want, just change it out. I saw people were saying that you could play Resident Evil 4, of which you've courted some controversy recently, I noted. But you can play with one hand, which is cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Just make that game more hard to control.
Oh, you're really just deep into it now, aren't you?
I know.
It would be good for RPGs, especially. Like, just playing, putting all this stuff onto one controller if you can, and not having to, like, play... Not having to hold both Joy-Cons for an RPG would be pretty nice. Beyond that, it's mostly just accessibility, which isn't necessarily something I need. I'm probably not going to mess around with it too much because I never really messed around with the PS4 stuff. I know people who can't play on Nintendo systems because the confirm and cancel buttons are reverse from where they are in every other system.
Yeah.
So this is good for them.
I've seen some people do that on Twitter, like switching around the A and B buttons because they've had enough.
Yeah, I think it's sacrilege. I think you should just deal with it because that's the way Nintendo does it. But do whatever you want to do. That's fine.
Do whatever you want to do. I like the remappable buttons. One for the accessibility stuff, but then also just for like my biggest pet peeve with Nintendo Switch or NES Online, for example, is that you can't remap the buttons in that app when you go and play like old NES games. Yeah. And so the idea that I can just like remap the buttons and then go in there and actually play the way I want to play is a godsend. But then, also the storage stuff is very useful. I've had it where I've bought an SD card and I've had to like re-download everything, which is a pain. And so the idea that I can just transfer everything over is really nice. And then, yeah, a lot of people are going to like the Animal Crossing related icons. And so good on you, Nintendo.
It's weird that it took 3 years for move stuff off the onto the SD card.
Like, you'd figure it's not weird for Nintendo. I feel like that's a very Nintendo thing for them to be very late on something that seems so simple.
Mm-hmm. I need to probably get a new SD card soon. I think I'm either close to filling up or probably actually just straight up at the line.
How big is yours now?
I want to say it's 256. I don't remember exactly. So, stuff can add up. And, like, some games are just huge. Like, you buy a 60 gig game, that's most of your... That's a lot of your SD card right there.
Story number 5. PlayStation announces their Play at Home initiative. I'm pulling this from the PS blog. It's a blog post written by Jim Ryan, the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. People all over the world are doing the right thing by staying home to help contain the spread of COVID-19. We are deeply grateful to everyone practicing physical distancing and take our responsibility as a home entertainment platform seriously. So we're asking our community to continue supporting the safe choice and the need to play at home. As a thank you to all who are doing their part to lessen the impact of the pandemic, Sony Interactive Entertainment is pleased to announce the Play at Home initiative. Play at Home has two components. First, providing free games to help keep the PlayStation community entertained at home. And finally, establishing a fund to help smaller independent game studios who may be experiencing financial difficulties continue building great experiences for all gamers. To support Play at Home, PlayStation will try to make those occasionally dull moments more exciting by offering Uncharted the Nathan Drake Collection and Journey available for free for a limited time through digital downloads from April 15th at 8 p.m. Pacific Time through May 5th, 2020 at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Once you redeem the games, they're yours to keep. In alignment with SIE's goal in preserving internet access in the US and Europe, game downloads may take a little longer, but we appreciate the understanding from our community as we take these measures in an effort to preserve access for everyone. And then they talk about creative funding. Independent developers are vital to the heart and soul of the gaming community, and we understand the hardships and financial struggles that many smaller gaming studios are facing. With that, SIE has developed a fund to support them during this time. We have earmarked $10 million to support our independent development partners. More information about the fund, including participation criteria, will be made available soon. During these days of physical distancing, fans have turned to gaming for moments of respite and enjoyment. At Sony Interactive Entertainment, we are privileged to bring this much-needed entertainment. We know this is just one small step, and we are thankful to be able to offer this support to our players, our communities, and our partners. Imran, this seems like a really cool thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really into this.
It's a good idea. Like, it from both a, you know, actual charitable, like philanthropic style thing, mm-hmm. or and also from a marketing perspective, these are both good things of, hey, we want to get these things into your hands so you'll have free games to enjoy on your PlayStation 4. Like Greg was asking a couple of weeks ago, like, why aren't more people doing this now? And I guess now that they're realizing it's probably going to last more than a couple of months, it makes sense to, like, I don't want to say take advantage of it, but like use this to make, because businesses still have to run. So I guess like this is a smart way to, you know, hit some of those end goals, especially the independent fund. That is a good way.
That's a really cool thing.
Because like right now, it doesn't super matter what's coming out of the PS4. Like, yes, it does, but it doesn't. But let's say in next year, when you're looking for stuff to play on a PS5, you need those developers who are currently struggling to make indie games to have games to release, because those fill up a window. So to give them, like, $10 million is honestly a drop in the bucket to make sure that library can fill in a little bit. And honestly, by not going to shows and not going to E3, they're probably saving more than that.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I think in terms of like, why haven't we seen this already? Like, I'm with that. I think it's one of those things where you also, I think we've had enough weeks to see that like being philanthropic in this way isn't going to have like big blowback, you know, in terms of people being like, oh, you're taking advantage of a pandemic or whatever that conversation may be. And it seems like Sony is doing it in the right way, right? Like, hitting it from both sides, being like, hey, yeah, we're going to provide free games, and they're yours to keep. It's not a PS Plus thing. It's not a temporary thing. These are your games to keep. But then also, yeah, we're allocating money to help indie devs that are having trouble during this time. I think that's an awesome thing. And it's the right decision, for sure.
What do you think about the choices? Like, Uncharted, great collection, I get. Journey, to me, seems pointed. Because that game is coming out on Steam in like a couple of months. Not even a couple of months, it's a couple of weeks. So I wonder if that's like, we want you to... I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning for that would be. But again, they basically took two PS3 games and put them for free. I wonder
That's kind of more my read on it is, I'm looking up Journey right now to see if it was actually published by Sony when it came out, or if it was published like independently or something, because like this strikes me as just, hey, these are two Sony games. Yeah, it looks like it on PlayStation was published by Sony, and then on PC is like published by Annapurna. But this strikes me as like two games that they can do this easily with, because they own the games and because they're able to make those offers easily. Like, they don't have to go through any hoops to be like, hey, yeah, let's offer, like Uncharted especially, right? You don't have to jump through any hoops to be like, let's offer this one, because this is a thing that, one, we just gave away for free on PS Plus. But also, like, you know, nobody's going to tell us no with Uncharted. And then for Journey, I assume it's like a similar thing of like, on our platform, we're the publisher, and so we have more control over how we treat this thing.
You're wrong. The final boss fight says in Germany and China, players have Knack 2 in Journey instead. Not Uncharted. Which I assume is just a weird thing about genres and the content versus, like, I don't know. But I maybe Knack 2 is going to be a game... Because they don't say that this is a like one and done. This is not just the single time they release these games.
Yeah, and like Knack 2, I think, falls in line with what I'm also saying, is that like Knack 2 is another game that's very much owned by PlayStation, and they can do whatever they want with it. And so I wonder if, like, since this is the first round of it, maybe it is the thing of like, hey, let's just go with what we have now, and then maybe if we can reach out to third parties later on, say if like we're gonna do this for another month, then yeah, let's reach out to Ubisoft or somebody to see if they can offer up anything. But I imagine this is an easy start for them.
My question, or not question, but like my not concern either. I guess I'm more interested is like, are they gonna go bigger from here, or like it's not about ownership necessarily, but like, is the next game going to be Uncharted 4, or is it gonna be like Second Son, or is it gonna be like, I don't know. I'm trying to think like older.
Or is it gonna be like God of War or Spider-Man or something like that?
Yeah, like do they do bigger games, or are they kind of sticking to, we're not really making that much money off this thing anymore, so let's put this out there.
I don't necessarily see like a God of War or anything like that's like recent showing up on here. Maybe we see like a Detroit Become Human, because they've already even given that away on PS Plus before. But like in terms of something that's big and recent, I'm more inclined to think that like maybe next month we get like Infamous Second Son, or maybe not the Order 1886, but like something that's in those Ratchet and Clank, something that's like that.
The Order 1886 doesn't keep you at home for very long.
No, exactly. It keeps you at home for a couple hours.
To be clear, I'm not looking to give horse in the mouth here. I just like I'm curious where they take it. What's their end goal for this?
Yeah, what's like the conversation that they're having behind the scenes about this thing and how they want to treat it. Story number six. There's a new trailer for the Dark Pictures anthology, Little Hope. And Kevin, I did not prep you on this, and so I know we probably cannot hear the trailer if we decide to watch it live. Is that correct? Gotta wait for him.
Yep.
All right. But in that case,
I mean, if you want, I can do some magic and make it work.
It's all good. It's all good. People know what Little Hope is. It's the Dark Pictures anthology. Oh, they can hear it. We just can't hear it.
Yeah.
Imran, what do you think? You want to watch the trailer?
Yeah, why not?
You
can't hear it, Imran.
Kev?
I can turn it on my side.
Okay. Yeah, I've already watched it, so guys, I'm just going
to
pretend.
I mean, I can. Do you want me to set it so you can hear it?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Because like I don't want you to do all the extra
work,
Kevin.
Should the kids hear it?
Yeah, let the kids hear it.
Well, I mean, I'm always down to do my job.
I just don't want to, like...
Is your reluctance because it's a horror game?
There's no reluctance here. I'm not being reluctant.
Kevin's scared. We can hear it in your voice, Kevin.
Hold on.
The fear.
Hold on. I keep talking. Talk to the kids.
Okay.
Kids. So I've already seen this trailer.
All right. Well, now you're going to watch it again, and you're going to hear it. You happy?
All right.
I did.
I'm going to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Don't make this a big thing. All right, here we go.
Peggy 18. Hello.
Do you have any interest?
You survived the murder.
Fucking
Madonna?
Stop talking over
so
it.
So no doubt you discovered that the legend had a glimmer of truth to it. Now, I wanted to show you this. Don't be put off by the title. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about.
That narrator looking good.
Anyway, the story of Little Hope will take you to a place that has a dark history.
Yeah, the group of teens.
A place that, like many such towns in 1692, was gripped by the fear of witchcraft. It was a place where neighbor denounced neighbor. And it was a place where self-styled witchfinders dispensed the cruelest of punishments. So much death. The true question, of course, was whether the accused really did consort with evil, or was there a dark presence manipulating those who accused them?
Together, by God's grace, Little Hope will prevail.
Or perhaps it was something else entirely. I dare say we'll find out. Hmm? And find out you must if you want to stay alive and keep those around you safe.
What is that?
One thing you will certainly discover is that all that suffering, all that malice, leaves a profound effect. It creates repercussions. There are always repercussions.
New chapter opens. A brand new story.
Thank you. hope to see you soon. Maybe in Little Hope, maybe somewhere else. It's inevitable.
Summer 2020. Imran, you're not into it, Kevin?
I don't play scary games.
Oh, no, man. But like, did you play Until Dawn? Because Until Dawn is not that scary.
No, nah, I mean, I've watched people play it because I had to. It was my job.
I really liked Until Dawn. I did not like Man of Medan that much.
Yeah, I'm in the same place where I loved Until Dawn. Man of Medan I played, and I was like, this is very okay. Like, mediocre to okay. And Little Hope, I want to be excited for, but knowing that it is more, like, knowing that it's in the Dark Pictures anthology, and knowing that it's probably going to be more along the lines of Man of Medan, and less along the lines of Until Dawn, kind of makes me sad. But, like, I mean, setting-wise, and in terms of setup, it looks like it's erring on the side of Until Dawn a bit, but who knows? We'll see. Even watching the trailer, like, I'm not like, excited, though I am kind of, I'm still looking forward to it, because I
want to give him another chance, honestly.
I want to give him another chance, and despite me not loving Man of Medan, there's something about those games that still hits the spot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily looking for it to be like an incredible, like, amazing game. I am looking for it to be something that hits the spot for me, if that makes sense.
I think if it has the same plot twist again, I'm not gonna spoil the plot twist. If they do that again, I'm off board for the rest of the series, because there's only so many times they can use that. But Man of Medan had a number of problems. One of them was that they didn't have control of the engine all that well. So there was a lot of situations where it would cut scenes, and then you would go to a character and it would, like, textures would load in, and it would be so obvious in a really bad way. What else? Like, the acting wasn't as good. The story just wasn't as good, because, like, you're doing all this, like, character moments with the characters, presumably to build to something, but when it builds to it, it just kind of fizzles out. Yeah, it needs an overhaul in terms of writing, in terms of engine, in terms of a lot of things. So if they can pull it off, great. I would love for them to do that, because I did love Until Dawn, but I'm interested, but not necessarily confident.
Imran, I'm very excited to see what Little Hope becomes in summer 2020. But summer 2020, at this point, it feels so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Before I get to out today, let me tell you about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. ForHims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Kinda Funny's own Nick and Andy can attest that they're looking and feeling great due to Hims hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness solution for men. And I can attest to that also. Nick and Andy look great. They smell great. I don't know if the smelling part has to do with Hims, but let me tell you, man, it all just comes together. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. For Hims connects you to real doctors online, which can save you hours, completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. This offer is valid only if prescribed, 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's forhims.com/gamesdaily. We're also brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know that the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care is this: if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric Man, my mouth is so dry today. Quip's electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full, even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with a pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always just right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelled GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Out today, we got Fallout 76 Wastelanders for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Path of Giants for Switch, Boot Hill Bounties for Switch, Xout for PC, Impulse Control for PC, Selfless Heroes for PC, Heaven's World for PC, Probe for PC, City Destructor for PC, Receiver 2 for PC and Mac, and then this week's Red Dead Online update features free roam event bonuses, an ability card reward, a new showdown mode variation, returning limited time clothing, and a variety of discounts. And then new dates for you. PUBG Corporation is bringing an island back after a little time off with the return of Vikendi in PUBG Season 7. Players can experience the new looks for Dinoland and the Cosmodrome areas, plus a nonstop railroad circuit for free as part of the 7.1 update. The Survivor Pass. Coldfront Premium upgrade rewards the hardiest players with limited edition weapon skins, costumes, and more goodies that hint at Vikendi's turbulent past with the Lind family. April 21st on PC and April 28th on consoles with the 7.1 update. And then Remnant from the Ashes will launch a new premium DLC, Swamps of Corsus, for $9.99 on PC, that's Steam, April 28th, and on Xbox One and PS4 at a later date. And then today, Valve announced the return of the Steam Game Festival with the Summer Edition, kicking off June 9th, 2020. The Steam Game Festival is an event that shines a spotlight on games set to release within the next year. From June 9th to 14th, game developers have the opportunity to show their upcoming releases to a global gaming audience, giving gamers on Steam the chance to try them out, learn more, and add games to their wish list.
Man, announcement for June right now feels like... I look at that like, oh, June 9th. That's objectively fairly soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels so far away, though. And that's not a segue. It literally just feels so far away. Also, I want to point out, I haven't played PUBG in a minute. Reading that PUBG, like that update, apparently I just don't know what PUBG is anymore, because that sounds like a different game.
Dude, yeah, it was like Dinoland.
Yeah, like Dinoland and Cosmodrome. Like, what the fuck? What's that?
I thought it was just like prisoners are on an island and they shoot each other. And now it's apparently, now the island is coming back as a nostalgia thing.
Dude, as a nostalgia thing, yeah, that's the crazy part. Yeah. Y'all trying to play some PUBG later? What's up? Kevin, did you play PUBG? Oh, Kevin's just gone.
I'm right here. I'm right here. I used to play that PUBG. I gotta be honest. I'm not gonna be jumping in anytime soon.
I understand.
I could be convinced to get back into Apex at this point, but PUBG, I think...
PUBG is just a step too far at this point.
Yeah.
I feel that. Deal of the day for you, of course, Uncharted and the Nathan Drake Collection and Journey are free for the month starting tomorrow, so get on that. Now it's time for reader mail. Of course, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can show ad-free, do all that stuff. The Nail Biologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hi, Blessed Imran. Over the weekend, CD Projekt Red announced that Cyberpunk will receive a Witcher 3-sized DLC expansion eventually, and I just want to know, how much content is too much content? Do you get turned off or taken aback when starting an older game or starting a new one, knowing how much extra stuff will be available to you if you play it, knowing other games are coming soon / eventually? I know this may be rich coming from me, a guy who plays World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV, but still, I always see games with huge open worlds that seem to have little guidance or just too much to do as just too much. Thanks, the Nanobiologist. Imran, what are your thoughts on this?
There is definitely too much content, but honestly, if I'm enjoying a game, I'll play every bit of it. And there's different degrees of enjoyment, right? Like, sometimes I'll just mainline it for the end. I love Breath of the Wild. It's, I think, one of the best games of all time. I didn't see every inch of that game. When I decided I was done, I was just done. I went to Ganon and finished the game. But I don't think, like, Witcher 3 is a good example. I haven't actually finished that game. I also still love it. But when people talk about deal like big DLC for that game, that's amazing. I kind of think about like, oh, I'd love to get back into it, but I've got to do so much before I get to that DLC and just kind of get sleepy and stop. There is the line of too much content is going to vary depending on game and depending on person. Like Nanobiologist just mentions, he plays FF14, and FF14 is a game I'm waiting to play until they do the compression of the early game quests that are for like 5.3 patch or whatever. It's one of those things of it's going to vary depending on who you are and what you want from a game. I finished all of FF7 and I probably didn't need to do all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, like I've never felt compelled to have to do all the content in like a big RPG. Like Fallout 4, I played and I loved, and I didn't do probably most of the side quests in the game, right? And like I went back and I got all the endings, but that's because at a certain point I was trying to get the trophies. But like I, for the most part, right? Like Witcher 3, for an example, like I found Witcher 3 to be like impressive and excellent, and I found myself getting lost in that world. And part of the reason was that it felt like there was more content than I could consume. And I think that is, it's almost like the opposite of a completionist sort of thing, where like I like the idea that there are stories out there that I'm in the world of The Witcher that I'm not going to get to, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're same with like any other RPG. Like in Final Fantasy VII Remake, my original time through, I didn't complete most of the side quests because I was trying to get it done for review, and I was super fine with that, right? Like the idea that there's more story to explore, this world feels bigger than I'm able to consume. I don't know, that there's something about that that feels special and feels cool to me. So the idea that the Cyberpunk universe is going to keep on expanding, I'm fine with that. In fact, like the idea that I can just keep going back to it over and over again and still have new content sounds awesome to me. That said, like in terms of DLC coming after the fact, it's so difficult for a game to get me back like after I've already finished it and put it down. Mm-hmm. Like Breath of the Wild is probably the one example of me being done with a game and DLC coming out like a year, like, or I guess like 9 months later, if we're talking about the second DLC that came out for Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. And that one got me back in. But even when I came back in, it was one of those things of like, all right, like I was heavily invested in March when this game originally came out. But now that we're in December, like I'm playing it, but I don't really care as much about finishing the thing because I already had my experience with it.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious if Cyberpunk is able to kind of get over that, like if Cyberpunk is able to pull me back in and be like and pull me back in more so to the point of me being fully invested again, as opposed to like dipping my toes in again.
A good example of like how it varies from person to person is like I've been reading Barrett's kind of like playthrough of Persona 5 Royal, and he's loving that game. It to him, it cements it as Persona 5 is like one of his favorite games of all time, or if not his favorite game of all time. And for me, the last thing I want to do is play more Persona 5. I enjoyed it fine at the time, but I played 70, 80 hours of it, and I don't want to replay that game again, even if there's like some new things to play. Like even if it was a major overhaul, I don't need more Persona 5 in my life. So That is an example of that is too much content for me. But for Barrett, it's perfect, and he ends up loving that game even more.
Yeah. Persona 5, I feel like, is a very specific thing, though. Because, like, the idea of... Because I love Persona 5, the original one. I played 120 hours of it and beat it. But the idea of playing that whole game over again to get to the new content... Like, I know it's, like, I know new content is sprinkled throughout that game, but I know the bulk of it is... Like, the new semester is, like, after... Like, at the end of the original game. The idea that I'm playing this 100-hour game again so that I can get to the new stuff, I'm like, man, that sounds insane to me. Granted, I played Persona 4 Golden, but also Persona 4 Golden was my first one. Like, I didn't play the original Persona 4. And so that's a step that's, like, way too far for me that, like, who knows, man. If I get bored enough during this quarantine, I might end up going back and playing even more Persona 4 or Persona 5 Royal. But, yeah, man, I wish for that one they just released, like, a separate... Like maybe like an optional like DLC thing that they dropped at the end of it that I could play.
The second they described that new Xenoblade's like new content as an epilogue, I was off board because like I love Xenoblade. That's one of my favorite JRPGs. I'm so glad that they're remaking it, but I'm not gonna play through that entire game to get through an epilogue. I'm gonna watch it on YouTube, and I know that sucks, but that's I can't put another 100 hours in that game.
Now it's time to squad up. Jay Chicago writes in with a squad up on PS4 and says, "Hey guys, I'm looking to squad up with anyone on PS4. My PSN name is Just One More. Currently addicted to Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Let's run some hardcore team deathmatch, battle royale, plunder, or whatever really. I mostly play around 5 to 8 p.m. Central Time for short bursts throughout the week and random times on the weekend. I'll be a new dad a month from now, so may the gamer gods have mercy on my soul." Jay Chicago's PSN again is Just One More, and it's not the number one. It is spelled W-O-N. So Just W-O-N More. Clever. I like it.
It's also in the comments.
It's also in the comments if you want to check that out.
Description, sorry.
Or description. Thank you, Kevin. Now it's time for Kind of Funny.
You don't have to repeat it, is all I'm saying.
I don't have to repeat it, Kevin?
No. They can hear me.
They can hear you.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you can write and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here. Neo Biology writes in, it says, "Marvel may not have a PSA by Miles Morales, but they are giving away 12 free comics via Marvel Unlimited app. They are Amazing Spider-Man, Red Goblin, Avengers Final Host, Avengers Kree Skull, and then a bunch more Avengers/Black Panther/Captain America stuff, and are available through May 4th. No sign-up necessary." Thanks for that.
Well, apparently, I was wrong about Xenoblade. You can just play the epilogue straight from the game. I'm not going to spend $60 just to do that. But yeah, that's cool to know. I don't have to play the entire Xenoblade to see that part.
And then, let's see. Nail Bodges writes in and says, XCOM 2 released on February 5th, 2016. And then Nail Bodges also says, "Blessing, you're wrong for not hitting the desk. It's tradition. It's part of a routine." I think I did hit the desk. I just didn't hit it too hard.
Coward.
Yeah.
And so, I just don't want to break it, you know?
Kevin, as a desk expert, how much pressure would you need to put on that desk to actually break it?
Oh, I am confident that I can fully stand on it. I could fully stand on it. Now, if I jumped up and kicked down as I'm coming down, I could definitely break it.
But yeah. it would take an entire Kevin, basically.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I think when this whole thing is over, we should have you stand on the desk and see what happens.
All right, I'm standing on my desk now. Totally fine. Totally fine.
Oh, my
fine.
God. Jesus Christ. Tomorrow's hosts are Greg and Gary Witta, so stay tuned for that. Have a happy Witta Wednesday tomorrow. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerd news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, stay healthy.